Thanks for tuning into the Hidden Tracks podcast. You can find us wherever you find podcasts or listen to music. When you have an opportunity, please give us a 5-star review, write a little note, tell us how we're doing. We really appreciate it. It helps us keep this thing going. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us at Facebook at Hidden Tracks. Instagram is at Hidden Tracks 99. And if you'd like to send in submissions or talk to us or give us any feedback about what we're doing, our email is myhiddentracks99@gmail.com. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show. Here we are again, another edition of Hidden Tracks. Today I have Alice Magnin from the awesome band Young Culture. We're going to start it off real quick by saying, hey, Alex, how you doing? And I'll start with the first question because I don't like to do it myself anymore because I don't want to, you know, piss people off. If someone was to throw you into a genre, what genre would it be?
Isn't that a frustrating question?
It is. Because there's made up genres now too, so it's tough.
Yeah, right. Alternative rock.
Okay. I gotta say, man, that's like I get a lot of that now. It's funny that people are like would rather go like alt rock. I'm like, okay, because it's very encompassing. So
yeah, totally. I mean, especially like, you know, when you meet a stranger or when I meet a stranger and try and explain them, like, oh, you're in a band, what kind of music do you play? Like, more than trying to say like pop punk or pop rock or like try to like specify, I feel like alternative rock is broad enough.
Yeah. it checks a lot of boxes for people.
100%.
So, but thank you for coming on the show, man. I'm excited to have you ever since I saw you a couple years ago, right before the C word happened. So pretty awesome to have you here. So thanks for coming on the show, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Shane.
So let's get down into it. Young Culture, great band. Like I said, I saw you guys open for Have Mercy and Selfish Things and Fredo Disco back in 2020. I was blown away. I hadn't heard of you guys before I saw you. It's one of my favorite things about live music and not being the cool guy who's only there for the ticket they paid for, but seeing everyone that's out there to perform. And then I find bands such as yourself. So let's get into Young Culture, man. How'd you guys get started and what's the story of the band?
Right. So the band started out, me and our guitarist, Gabe, you know, just childhood best friends. And actually, from a young age when I met him, started off showing him how to play guitar. And now he's a better guitar player than me. And and the two of us just kind of were playing in other bands and stuff. And then we were like, yo, like, let's start a band. So the whole idea of it was pretty much born in high school and just from friendship and kind of really came into fruition in what probably should have been like our college years. And we've been doing it ever since then.
Awesome. So let's go back to if you're starting something in high school, a journey in music usually starts when you're a kid. It's when something changes in you, when something completely changes in music. For me, I remember how old I was, where I was when I heard the first thing that completely changed my life in music. Do you have a point in your life where you were a small child and you heard something that completely changed your life and, you know, your first musical memory that wasn't a cartoon theme song or Sesame Street or Barney or something?
Yeah, 100%. I do. And for me, it was, when I was, I think about 7 or 8, From Under the Cork Tree by Fall Out Boy came out, that album. And do you remember when like FYEs or like anywhere that would sell music had like, they used to have like a CD sampler and like, you know, you'd put the headphones on.
Yep.
And whatnot. And, yeah, I remember hearing Sugar Were Going Down and like literally like from then on, I would make my older brothers like give me any CDs that were like that. So from there it was, you know, like it was Fall Out Boy and it was like Dashboard Confessional was a big one for me. At a very, very young age, you Taking Back Sunday, like and all that kind of stuff. And that's really, that was, I would say my first love in music were what I would say like our emo bands, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, when it comes to that kind of stuff for me, I hate saying this all the time, but I'm quite a bit older than a lot of people that I talk to. So, I mean, the Dashboard Confessional thing for me is awesome because I can kind of attach myself to that from an earlier stop, A Further Seems Forever, when Chris was, you know, doing that stuff. And I remember the first time I heard his voice, Chris's voice, through Vic and Andy's, you know, first thing that he was doing, and hearing that voice and being like, this dude's fucking special.
Seriously. Like,
this voice is fucking special. And to see emo get its day, which is, you know, prior to that, it was that, it had a cooler name. It was called post-hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think once it went a little mainstream, it got that emo moniker, which is pretty funny to me that that name changed real quick. But yeah. I think it brought a new horizon to people such as yourself. Like, there's a whole new world. For me, it was when I heard the first Sunny Day Real Estate album, Diary, in the 90s. I remember buying that CD, and just because the cover was fucking cool as shit. And I was like, I don't know this band, Sunny Day Real Estate. I'm like, that name's cool. And I put it in my CD player in my car, leaving the mall. And I think it was a Sam Goody before it was FYE. And I was like, I've never heard music like this before. And that was my, you know, first thing into that emo style of sound. And then it just grew.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And you know, to this day, still, those are artists and like, you know, bands alike in that genre that have had a lot of very full circle moments for me where I'm like, wow, like, I didn't realize why I liked this so much. And I still really do.
Well, that feeling doesn't go away either, because I'm sure as soon as you hear that, you know, Sugar Hill Down, you hear it and you're like, I remember when I first heard that. I remember where I was, because it's what music has. It offers us that time machine.
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah.
So you said you had older siblings. What were they listening to? Were they listening to the same stuff as you, or did they have a different kind of taste? So you were inundated with other types of influences, or was it a whole household of same stuff?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, like, so I grew up, I'm the youngest of three. I got two older brothers who are also incredible musicians on their own, and yeah, I'd say like definitely it was what they were listening to, you know, just kind of like little brother wanting to be like, you know, their older yeah. siblings. And
I'm the youngest of three as well, so I get it.
Yeah, dude, totally. And like they you know, so I'd be stealing, like, you know, this was back, like, you know, way when, like, when I was younger, but like they had like CDs and stuff, and I would always steal them, you know, without them knowing and stuff. And I would like burn them on like, you know, I don't know. I remember doing that though. And burning like a few like really prominent CDs in my like, childhood, you know, that just still to this day have a huge impact on the type of music I make and the type of music I listen to, man.
Yeah. And I mean, from, you got a family of musicians. I mean, was that what drove you still having that, I want to be like my older brothers and wanting to play guitar and wanting to get into music? Was that your driving force?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I wanted to, you know, be like them.
How old were you when you started to play?
So the first instrument I started playing was drums. And I always say this, but if I like stuck with it, I would have been fucking gnarly. But but then I like really quickly from that went to you know, wanting to be a singer. So I started learning guitar because I wanted to be like, you know, just like a freaking singer songwriter, because around that time, now it's like middle school for me, and I'm like a huge closeted like Never Shout Never fan. And like, you know, all that kind of stuff that was like that really like acoustic, like kind of like scene boy type of thing, and like All Time Low is there, and I just wanted to be Alex Gaskarth so bad. And yeah, I mean, like, that's really like, I gotta you know, give them all a salute, because those are the things that, you know, kind of shaped who I am and why I make the type of music that I do now.
Well, it comes through. And I mean, especially with, I gotta say, first off, thank you for not saying your first instrument was piano, because that's literally, I don't know if it's an 80s and 90s thing, but that was an instrument that everyone kind of started on. So you started on drums is pretty fucking epic.
I feel like piano is like an instrument, you know, like your parents, like, you know.
Yeah, mom says you gotta do this.
Yeah, it's like, no, you can't learn how to play guitar. Like, yeah. You know, like. For some reason, that's not allowed. Like, yeah, no, it wasn't like that.
Oh, we don't, that rock and roll music. Yeah. We want to keep you away from that.
The devil's music.
So, but, and then secondly, I mean, you kept pretty busy through the big C and the big Q of what just transpired. And in July, you guys dropped your EP, which I have to honestly say, for me, watching, you guys matured very quickly with your sound. I mean, you truly did from one album to your EP that came out. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty fucking spectacular. And I can tell, now I could be wrong, but it seems like you guys did a lot of work to do that during, you know, time that we had, you know, couldn't do other shit.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I feel like where a lot of the growth was is like, well, you know, like we've probably put out like, I think like four or five projects, and like in the very first one that we put out that's out there was literally like in every sense, like Young Culture, you know what I mean? Because we made it when we were like 14 to 16. And then it finally like came out, like our senior year of like high school. And that's still up there. Anybody can go check it out. Anybody can go listen to it. It's our first like little EP mini album called You. And then, you know, from there, we were just kids that like wanted to try to make our dreams come true. But in the last few years, we've really started, you know, trying to mature with our sound and figure out who we are, because we're not kids anymore. You know, like we're really just going to try to take this thing as seriously as possible, and because it's what we have to do. And and yeah, so when you're saying like, you know you can hear like how much it's matured, it's always interesting to hear people say that, because it's like, well, we've been doing the same things, but you know, truth is, you just watched us, you just listened to us become older, and that's what's going to keep being, you know, because
yeah,
it started out with us at a pretty young age and in a pretty vulnerable spot, you know, for us to be where we are now.
Yeah. I mean, and it's even just the growth in the songwriting. Mm-hmm. I mean, the second, you know, Godspeed hits in, I'm just like, wow. It isn't the band that I saw, you know, a year and a half ago.
Wow. Right, that's so good to hear. Thank you. Yeah.
I was like, this is, I remember seeing you guys live and I was like, all right, cool. And you brought it up at the beginning. So I'm like, oh, okay. It's like the pop punk thing. It's cool. They're good. They're talented. Mm-hmm. And then listening to the album, like, yeah, no, that's who they are. That's awesome. I still like them. That's great. And then when the EP dropped in July and I heard it, I was like, Godspeed kicks in and then the lyrics kick in. I was like, fuck, they did a lot of growing in a short period of time.
Well, that's good to hear, because obviously, like, you know, get serious for a sec. Like, you know, the whole entire time of this C word that we keep talking about was a really, you know, it was a really tough time and a tough realization, because I felt like it was such and is such an important time in my life. You know, the last time I played a show, I was 21 years old, and now I'm 23. And, you know, that was a really harsh reality. And it's not, you know, a woe is me thing, because obviously everybody's going through it. But just it felt like a really inconvenient time in my mm-hmm. life. So, you know, definitely the fact that we're able to hopefully, you know, get back at it and resume what feels like was a long pause is super relieving. Feels really good.
Yeah, and I mean, to listen to the lyrics, it's one of those things that I want people to go out and listen to this EP and listen to the lyrics, because they're more than just songs. Mm-hmm. They're there is truth. There's always truth in music. But there's truth in, I think, what a lot of the stuff listening to it that came out was trying to bring out feelings that you may be experiencing and someone else may be experiencing, but not knowing how to say it or talk about it. Because mm-hmm. as much as there has been this huge, in my lifetime, there's been a huge point where there was never could talk about what anyone was going through, your personal feelings, what you felt in life. If you were struggling with something, you weren't allowed to talk about it because then you would just be a little bitch, as people would say. But right. now it's more acceptable. But even though it being more acceptable, I think it's kind of people still kind of hold it inside. Even if they talk about it, they're yeah. not releasing it.
It's kind of taboo a little bit, you know, like, you know, and that goes a bit about whatever, like, you know, anything that's hard to talk about, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and we have a couple songs on here where that was kind of a goal of ours when we were like, especially writing lyrics, was to like, all right, like, let's like talk about some things and like, and say some things that might turn some people's heads and make them go like, did that motherfucker really just say that? Like, you know, like, we have like one of the songs on it is just like, you know, we're like, let's write the most vulnerable song about having sex, you know, and it's something that everybody thinks about. It's something that, you know, people do. And it's just like, and it's like, it's on people's minds, but like we wanted to make a song where it's like, you know, the most vulnerable, you know, way that you can say this thing. And, you know, we have songs about mental health and stuff too. And yeah, to hear you say that was interesting because it definitely was a goal of ours, is to just with these songs to kind of just make people, you know, stop and think like, what are like, are they like talking about, like they're not just saying like something completely normal. Like they're talking about, you know, something very specific a lot of the time, you know?
Well, definitely. And what I think it did, and I will credit you being wise beyond your years, is what it made me do was listen to the song over and over again because I thought I was missing something. Mm. And I wasn't missing something. I caught it the first time, but I was like, man, like all of a sudden I started thinking and I was like, fuck, why is music making me think? I was like, this is crazy and awesome at the same time. And it was something different. And that's what I love. I love that we're so far into the world of music creation that something can still come out and be thought provoking without being mean or someone fucking trying to rip it apart on Twitter, and then everybody right. has the trend. Like, it's just, I listened to it, I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is fucking cool. Like, it just made me think about something.
No, that's good, you know? And like, obviously, I mean, to be completely honest too, like with especially the latest EP that we put out, Godspeed, more than anything, where I felt like our full length album that we also put out during the pandemic, so that's two pandemic babies, you know, that we put out and arguably are the two most important ones of our career. You know, so with this one, we really were just like, no frills. Let's just make music that is special to us, that is fun for us to do. Because if we're having fun with it, then other people will probably have fun with it as well. You know, whereas the full length, our self-titled that we put out at the end of 2020, is still probably my favorite thing that we've done. But you know, it was something like that, like, you know, we took very seriously, and it was the album that I always want to make, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. I love to hear you say that that's the album that you wanted to make. A lot of times when people put, you know, make music, it's, well, we got to make something because we got to go on tour, we have to have something to tour on. Like, you made an album you wanted to make. And that's awesome to hear. I appreciate that as a music lover.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, during that entire time, I'm sure you had a lot of time to reflect and I mean, the fact that, you know, I saw you guys live in 2020 right before the shutdown, and, you know, it affected a lot of people, but it seemed like you guys were like rip roaring, ready to go. You were having fun, talking to everybody after the show. It was really cool to see. And then everything just, I mean, was done. Now, I got to say, probably didn't know until probably around June that, okay, this is bigger than it we thought it was in the, you know, originally.
Yeah.
I mean, what plans were missed or what plans were, I mean, because the album that you released at the end of 2020, you didn't have that to release at the end of 2020. You were probably planning on releasing it much sooner than that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we had recorded that at the end of 2019. And then we did our, that was probably in like, I want to say like September, October of 2019 that we did our full length and at it, our very first one, you know, so it was a big deal, really big deal to us, still is, you know, and it was going to be our self-titled and it just held a lot of meaning. I was like, this is what Young Culture is going to be. And so we finished the record and, you know, it's getting mixed and stuff and we're on tour with Have Mercy. And, that is in, February, March. And yeah. And luckily, you know, I know a lot of people were on tour during it and they were, far from home, but we were, nearing up. We only had about three or four shows left and we were in Toronto when they told us, they were like, yo, like this tour is over. Everybody's got to go the fuck home, you know, pretty much. And so, yeah, that was, it was really tough because then we're sitting there and our whole entire rollout plan that we were very set on was kind of put on pause and kind of just like, okay, what do we do now? You know, like, okay, well, we can roll out singles slowly and, you know, eventually we're going to be able to put it out. And so we're like, okay, June now. Okay, not June because we can't tour on it. All right, how about August? And then August comes around and it's like, yo, like, we're not going out. We're not going to be able to tour on this. And we're not going to sit on it any longer because that just didn't feel like the right move, you know? And so we put it out in October and still haven't gotten to play a lot of the songs live yet, but we're absolutely excited to, you know?
Yeah, and you got stuff coming up soon. I mean, what's that? How's that feel like to, you know, get back out there? I mean, have you played, you know, some shows recently to warm up, or is it just going to be a hard, fast go?
It's going to be a hard, fast go, Shane. and you know what? Like, I'm down with it, you know, and how it feels like the most special thing ever to me. And I'm nervous. I'm excited. It feels almost like a fresh restart. You know, we're coming back with you know, like pretty much like a new band, you know what I mean? And just coming back hotter and more ready than ever. But at the same time, like, yeah, it's been a while, you know. I'm like, did I forget how to do it? Like, you know, and like and stuff like that. And these are like questions I ask myself. But at the end of the day, like, I know that the second we get right on stage, the first show that we play, which is awesomely enough our hometown, it's just going to be such a magical feeling and to just be able to play a lot of these songs that I've had for a while and just be able to do them live is going to be such an incredible feeling for us, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm excited for you. I got to see, you know, my first real live rock show a couple weeks ago. And then this weekend I got to go to another one in Brooklyn, see May and the Juliana Theory, which was really awesome.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Yeah. Juliana Theory. Those are our label mates too.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome to watch that go and just be like, cause I was nervous.
I was
like, how is this really going to play out? Like the first show I went to was at Mercury Lounge and pretty small. And it wasn't too many people there, but I was like, all right, this is Music Hall Williamsburg. It's going to be a bigger venue, louder music. I know the crowd's going to be into it. What's it going to be like? And literally from the moment of walking in, I was like, nah, it's totally cool. I'm okay.
Yep. Literally. And, at this point now I've also gone, I went to a couple shows. I saw Turnstile at Elsewhere, which was, I mean, I could go on about that band and how, I mean, they just are absolutely owning this year.
They're fucking killing it.
Yeah. I mean, they're incredible.
It. Good for them.
And that being the first show that came back, like, I'm surprised I didn't like cry at it, because it was just like, it was like so incredible. And just, I hadn't felt an energy like that in forever. And then this past week, I just saw the band Camino at Bowery Ballroom. And nice. that was really rad. It was so sick.
My favorite venue in the entire world is Bowery Ballroom.
No way, for real?
For real. I mean, all the places I've seen shows around the world, the one, I mean, I always loved growing up, it was the Roseland Ballroom in the city that's no longer there.
Okay.
But Bowery Ballroom is, it's something about it that invokes, I've never seen a bad show there. I've never seen a band just flop. I've never seen, it's always perfect. And I mean, I was sending money during quarantine to the Bowery Ballroom, making donations constantly.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, if that place goes away, like my musical like feeling and being of who I am is going to struggle going to shows.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And that's understandable. You know what I mean? Like, it was actually my first time at that venue, and all I could think about like watching them play was like, fuck, I want to be on that stage. Like, you know, like I want to be up on that one. So
you will be.
Yeah.
You
thanks. Be. Thanks. Heck yeah.
So let's, I want some personal questions for you.
Yeah.
Now that this, sometimes we get funny names, sometimes we don't, but what was the name of your very first band you ever had?
Well, first real band that I had, and this one was also with, I was in it with Gabe, who's in Young Culture as well. But like, first one we took seriously was also like a middle school, high school band, which sounds funny to say. But like, you know, we were taking it really seriously. And it's when we started playing shows and when we met a lot of our contemporaries in music and stuff, especially in the upstate New York scene. But the band was called Bring Home Ohio. You can still find our music out there, and like it's hilarious. But yeah, what the name means, that's definitely goes on your list for funny ones, because it means fuck all, you know, like who knows, like
yeah, we've had some killer ones here that are pretty funny. They're like, yeah, okay, you were a 12-year-old kid, that's why I get it.
Yeah, literally. And that is definitely one of them. Like, why did I think that sounded really cool? What does it mean? Absolutely nothing. Whereas something like Young Culture, you know, when we came up with a name like that, it had, you know, has quite a bit of meaning, and it still kind of does feel like what it is, you know.
can you see yourself at, you know, 70 years old touring on the name Young Culture?
Hell yeah, I can.
Awesome.
I get people all the time being like, so like what age are you gonna be at where you just start going by Culture? I'm like, is like Young Thug out there? Like, is he's like, he's like in his 30s or 40s, is he like going by Old Thug now? No, he's like, he's Young Thug, you know.
That's awesome. I appreciate that answer a lot. Do you remember the first song that you ever wrote?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I wrote it, you know, before I started playing guitar too. Like, I felt like it wasn't even notable enough to say, but I like learned how to play the ukulele. Like I told you, like I was like big in, there was a time where I was big into like Never Shout Never and mm-hmm. stuff. And like,
no, it's totally fucking dope, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, like, you know, still listening to like some of those old things, I'm like, that hits, you know. But I wanted to learn how to play ukulele because I was like, oh, this is four strings, smaller, gonna be easier to learn how to play than guitar. Then when I realized I wanted to learn how to play guitar, I did that. But I wrote a song on the ukulele, and I think it was called Realize, and like the word realize, and then like
real eyes,
yeah, and then real lies, you know. And I was like, that is so deep, like. And I definitely saw it on like a Tumblr post or something, like, you know.
That's awesome.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Now, if someone had never heard of the band Young Culture, and you had to play them one song that best encapsulates the band, what song of yours would you play for?
Maybe our song Drift, which we put out in like late 2018 or maybe 2019. I just feel like it's the one that I always show people to start with, but it also really depends, like, for me, like the crowd of people that I'm showing it to, you know, like, cause we have some songs like that are more like pop heavy, I would say. And I feel like a lot of the times that's what I'm better at doing. So I like showing people that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd say our song Drift is the, like one of the first ones that I always show people.
Awesome. Do you remember your, what it felt like to perform live and in front of people that weren't like your family? Do you remember that first experience of performing live in front of a group of people, strangers?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, there was a couple things, you know, like one thing that really like got me started was like growing up, like I would go to church, and it was like a kind of like very contemporary, like, I think that's the word to use, like contemporary type of church where like, you know, it was like a rock band, you know, doing worship songs and stuff. And so I would perform, and I would do that. I would play in like my youth group type of thing, and either play drums, guitar, or I would lead. And that was kind of where I got started doing that. But like the first time that I did like a true like Young Culture thing was like a true like original song and stuff was like my middle school talent show. And I always remember that. It's floating around somewhere on the internet. I think I posted it on Twitter, like a clip of it, but it's pure funny. But yeah, at the time that was really sick, and I got to play for all the young ladies in my class, and it was really awesome.
That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I remember that feeling, and to be honest, to this day too, like I find it easier to play in front of like a bigger crowd, or like, you know, strangers, than I do performing like an original for like my close friends or family and stuff.
Because I think the ones that are around you that love you the most will be the most critical of you. So it becomes harder sometimes.
Yeah. But it's hard because you don't want to hear it sometimes, but it is the best advice most of the time.
And remember, you know, my buddy, musician, and he says, listen, everybody doesn't have to fucking think everything you do is great. Like, absolutely. It's fine. Like, yeah. People put out not the greatest songs, but they liked them themselves and they put them on the album. Mm-hmm. So fucking deal with it. It's not going to be a perfect album. There's not many of those in the world. So,
yeah. And I can always appreciate that honesty, you know, because you can take it and be like, well, fuck them. But like, or you could be like, oh yeah, well, you know, like they're a listener and somebody that, you know, like is valuable and has been there and heard my stuff and will tell me the truth about it, you know? So it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to hear, but like, you know, it's always for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's hard, you know, especially being a songwriter and a musician. What a lot of people don't understand that don't do it is you are taking basically a piece of your soul and putting it into something. And when it doesn't touch someone, it hurts a little bit because like, I put my heart and soul into this and it just didn't hit the way I thought it would. Or somebody says something about it that you really care about and respect their opinion. You're like, fuck.
Yeah. Right. And you know, that kind of thing is always tough, but you know, it's better than to like be honest about it so you can learn from what you're doing than not. And also I've had times where like, you know, in certain songs in our discography where like it's happened a lot where like I'm like, this one really resonates with me and like I feel like it's like the sound, but like it didn't, you know, maybe perform as well on streaming and stuff like that, and like, you know, didn't reach as wide of an audience, and it's a bummer sometimes, but you know, that's what's, you know, beautiful about it is that you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't as you go along, you know?
Yeah. And well, also what's really cool is that the fact that music is so accessible nowadays is pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
It brings so many different things to light. It brings more bands to light that really deserve it. One of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing is to give the bands that I think are extremely talented, and you know, I want to help spread the word, you know, because I don't have a mountaintop and a megaphone and a TV crew on me at all times to scream to everybody about this. But it what's also good is you can put something out. It doesn't have to hit right away. You know, things don't hit right away. You know, I look at, we do this show and one episode that I think is going to be fucking killer, I'm like, man, we don't get everything we want. But then all of a sudden, like a month later, you're like, holy shit, what just happened? But it
right.
just didn't hit right away. It, but it's always there for people to check out.
Yeah. And
so,
you know,
it can always catch on at some point.
Like everybody always has, you know, something like that that they can relate it to, you know, like, and no matter what they do in their lives, you know, but, yeah, like obviously like for us, and I think any artist, you know, like it's easy to like get down and be like, oh, like it's not working and stuff. But somebody like told me the other day, like a crazy fact, that over 60,000 songs or something like that are uploaded to Spotify every day. So if you think about that, your chances of just being like that really like one in I guess you could say one in a million, like
yeah.
artists that, you know, really clicks is it's, you know, tough. It's so easy for people to put out music and make music nowadays that anybody with a voice or that wants to create music can really do it. And so the fact that anybody's out there and that it could even reach somebody like you, Shane, and like, it's just a really beautiful thing. And I'm really grateful that we have any sort of platform and that people listen to us and people have tattoos of our band on them and stuff. It's like, you know, that's when I really just realize how grateful I am for
it. Yeah. And honestly, I'd say it all the time. For me, music, it's only going to touch one person and make a difference to one person.
Right.
I mean, and it's life changing. To not only you, the creator, but that one person who just took ownership and, you know, of your music, because that's, you know, as music lovers, that's what you do. You take ownership of something you find and you love.
Exactly.
It no longer belongs to the creator. It belongs to me, the listener.
And that's such a wonderful thing too, you know, and that's definitely the way that I want our music to be perceived, is like, you know, like, all right, well, like, yeah, I just made this, like, it's yours now, you know, it's yours to like be, you know, stoked on, and for you to like for something of your own, you know, like, because that's such an amazing thing about like music and about fandom, is just that, like, you know, people can feel like, okay, like this is my band, this is like my thing, like, and you know, it's cool when other people are starting to find out about them, or some people are like, no, I don't want other people to find out about them, but I'd hope most people would think the first.
Yeah, well, and what I also think too is, and I've said it before, sometimes what I think is detrimental is how accessible music is, because people listen to that 30-second snippet and if they're not hit, they skip right by it. And
totally,
I can't stand that, because I think when I was growing up, and you know, the internet was in its infancy, and music was, if you wanted to find a song, it took fucking 5 hours to download one song. But so you were buying a CD, so you were committed.
Yeah.
Like
you would buy a CD for one song. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So now you have to be committed to the album and find other stuff on that and give music a chance
right.
to resonate with you. And I'll go back to stuff that I remember buying that I thought was straight dog shit when I bought it, and I go back to listen to it, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Right. Like, and you know, like, it's like we live in like the era of songs, you know, not people aren't buying albums unless they're like, you know, fully invested in it. And so, yeah, like what you're saying, it's hard because, you know, you can put out an album, but somebody might like listen to one snippet of a song on it and then judge the whole thing based off that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody's going to, you know, do a write up in Pitchfork or something, or online, and they honestly, you can tell that, you know, for me, what I do is I'll read, you know, something online or on Pitchfork or Rolling Stone to an album that I've dove into that came out that's new. And I'm like, oh, they didn't listen to it.
Like, I know.
Like, they listened to like 45 seconds of the album and wrote a review on it. I'm like, they missed like four songs that are fucking killer on here, and they're not, you know, and it's crazy, but that's the world we live in, because again, their jobs are hard too, because there's so much shit they have to go through to just find something good to write about.
Yeah, totally. I'm still waiting till we can get our first shitty Pitchfork review. I'm like, then I'll know I made it.
That's when you can just ride off into the distance.
That's when I'm like, hey boys, it was fun. we got the 4 out of 10.
Perfect. It's a perfect score.
it's what I've always wanted.
Oh man. So with all the, you know, you've played a lot of shows, very short period of time, kicking back up. Now, this doesn't take away, when I ask this question, it takes nothing away from anyone else you ever performed with.
Yeah.
But is there a band that you've performed with and been on tour with that you've just sat back in awe of and been like, they're the best band you've played with so far, that you get to sit back and watch them play after you're done playing, or they played before you played? Like, is there a band that you're just like, fuck, man, they're awesome?
Wow. And specifically one that we've played with?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're really a band anymore, but on that last tour that we did in 2020 with Have Mercy, a band that was actually even younger than us was on there, and they were making such waves. I'm not sure if they've disbanded at this point. I think that they have, but they were called Fredo Disco, and I would watch them like control a crowd, especially their front man, Fredo. And
yeah, he owned the stage.
Yeah, he owns it, and he really like is like, I mean, it made me a little jealous, because he's like younger than me, and he's like, you know, really talented, and I would watch him do his thing, and I would be like, that guy knows what he's doing. So that was just one, you know, off the top of my head that I'm like, yeah, I'm always in awe by, like, whenever we were on that tour, whenever they would come up and just absolutely own the crowd, it was so impressive.
Awesome. What was the first concert you ever saw?
First concert I ever saw? Oh, mine was kind of lame.
It can be lame, dude. Don't try to make something up cool because you're being recorded, because I throw out my lame one all the fucking time.
Yeah, so. And I want to know yours too afterwards. But my first one was like when I was probably like, 8 or 9, and my parents like took us to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And we went to the House of Blues and saw a Pink Floyd tribute band. And to this day, I'm like, I'm not the most big classic rock fan. And I remember being really bummed out because it was either going to be that or Secondhand Serenade. And I like really want to see Secondhand Serenade just for that one song. 'Cause tonight will be the night. Yeah. And I cried about it and cried at the show too, because I was like, this is fucking lame.
Well, it's Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd, you know, anybody, even if you're covering, but like, it's one of those bands that, so one of my things in music is like, I understand why people like certain things. Like, I get it. I don't have to like it too, but I get it. Pink Floyd for me is like, I still don't get it.
Yeah, I don't really get it either.
Like, I don't get it. Like, yeah. Okay.
That's okay though.
Yeah. And it's fine, but it's one of those things where like, I don't get it.
Cause obviously like you can still like hear it and be like, oh, like, you know, somebody really likes this and it was probably really special for the time, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah. So what about yours? What was your first show?
Real so quick. I was like eight years old, and my sister was a huge fan of Kenny Rogers for some reason.
Kenny Rogers.
So fucking The Gambler, yeah. So we went to, my parents got tickets and took my sister and I don't know why I was included, because I wasn't a fan, but I guess grandma couldn't watch me that night. But yeah, it was Kenny Rogers when I was like 8 years old.
Cool. All right.
I wanted to be able to say like Guns N' Roses or something.
Yeah, right.
So what was the best band that you've ever seen live?
Man, I don't know if it's just because I just saw them, like, but seeing Turnstile live was like unlike any other experience. And just their whole entire, like just vibe on stage was like it almost was like a hardcore band floating on a cloud, the whole time, you know, and they just were like, they had all the stees and everything. And I was like, damn, that's like a rock and roll band if I've ever seen one.
They just completely wowed you and like took you on that trip on that cloud.
Yeah, totally. Totally. They did. Other good bands I've seen live. Yeah. It's like the one that I can, that like stands out to me on top, more than anything else firsthand.
Awesome. So if this is a little bit of a morbid question, but
go ahead.
Earth's going to end in 5 minutes. There's a meteor coming in. So, you know, a really awesome, let's just put it this way, an awesome action movie where the world's going to end.
Right.
But you got 5 minutes left and you have to listen to one song.
Oh.
What song are you listening to?
First one that like comes to my mind, and I'm not even like a huge LCD sound system fan, but the song by them called All My Friends, which is just kind of like a very like you know, very important song, and I feel like it would probably be want to be like one of the last things that I hear going out.
All right.
Yeah.
Good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Now, so if you're, how do I preface this? Because I know everyone owns the shit they listen to right now, but I've called it guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
But something that you're, people wouldn't know that you get a lot of enjoyment out of this artist or this type of music. Do you have a guilty pleasure that...
One Direction. Okay. Yeah. No, but I think anybody who really knows me would be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, Alex, you're like a Harry Styles wannabe. So like, yeah, probably that. I mean, Taylor Swift. But I don't really think any of those, like, you know, like you said, they're not really guilty pleasures nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays
pleasures.
Yeah. When it's good, and that was my thing. Like, I always fought against the fucking Swift machine as she is.
Yeah.
And then watching the, and like now I'm getting it to the point where it's really bad, but it, watching the documentary on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And just being like, fuck, she's good.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like, this is this. God damn it. I never wanted to be like
this.
Oh,
I know.
Fuck, it's awesome.
You can hate on it, but Taylor, she is just an incredible songwriter. And that's my favorite thing about her. Especially like with Folklore, which was that album that, you know, she was doing on there. I was like, wow, this like made me like a super fan.
Yeah. And I always gave her credit, and that's my thing. Like, I when there's talent, like, because there are talentless hacks that are fucking big stars right now.
Of course.
But I mean, I always said, I'm like, listen, I don't have to like her music, but I respect her more than a lot of fucking people out there because she's writing her songs, she's performing them herself, she's playing instruments. I'm like, that is like, she's an artist.
Yeah. You
know, she's not a performer, she's an artist, and there's a huge difference. And I don't think people nowadays make that, you know, can see that. They just, you know, put it under one thing.
Right.
But there's a difference between a performer and an artist.
I agree. And like, you know, that's a conversation that I've had with other people too, is that, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, there are a lot of incredible performers out there, and that is their craft, that don't write their own songs. And to me, I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine, because like, you know, there's a lot of really incredible people who are just songwriters out there. You know, like whatever, like I think the Biebs is like an awesome performer, but like, you know, if they were like, all right, Justin, like, you know, write a whole album on your own, I'm sure it wouldn't, you know, really be that awesome of songs. But you know, does he go up on
Connor for real from Popstar.
Yeah. So good. But yeah, it's like, but you know, Justin can go up there and what he does really well is he just performs and stuff. So I mean, like, you can hate on the Biebs too, but you know, he obviously knows what he's doing. He's a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's what I mean. It's fine. And there are so many people that were those performers. There's actually an awesome documentary that just came out about songwriters that, you know, like guys like, yeah, I have 14 number one hit songs, and you know,
and nobody knows who I am,
and nobody knows who the fuck I am.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, I've been trying to be an artist my whole life. I've been trying to play. I play clubs all the time, but nobody knows me.
Right.
Because I sold all my best shit.
Yeah. You know, my songs, but you would never know who I am. And that's interesting. I should check that out.
Yeah. I'll send you the name of it. I just watched it a couple weeks ago. It's pretty cool.
Right on.
So, a little more morbid. Now, I've thought about this question, so that's why I ask it.
Go ahead.
Like a funeral playlist.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that I had to ask it.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it. You know, a song that would have to be played at, you know, your funeral if you're no longer here.
Uh-huh.
Something that would lend credence to who Alex was as a person through music.
You know, like I keep on coming back to like that LCD Sound System song. Just because like it's like, you know, just a lot of things that they're saying in that song, and like the feeling of it, like is something that like the type of note that I'd want to kind of be left off on. Oddly enough, like one that just comes to mind, like, and I feel like it's played at weddings a lot, so it makes it even more morbid, but like is like First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes, because like, you know, just like,
no, the, I know, you don't need to explain.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I mean, and something like that, but also like, you know, maybe even like an original or something, you know, like a Young Culture song. And I couldn't really like pick one out of the few, but like obviously that would be a good telltale because it's most literally me.
Now, this question is it is the typical question that you'll get in any interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I've removed it a couple times, but I bring it back because I truly want to know, because I don't know the answer. And
sure thing.
Do you have a favorite band? And if so, who is it? And you're allowed to have more than one. I'm a person, I have three. They're my stock three that I always like, and I can't choose between those three because it's different music, different genres, and they just hit me differently at different times when I need them. But
yeah. For me, it's more so like what like captured like what I really loved at the moment. So for me, I guess I could say like my first favorite band probably was Fall Out Boy. And then like I discovered All Time Low. And then like probably like when I was in high school and stuff, the 1975 was a big one for me. Like other artists that like, you know, I still like really love to this day are like, Frank Ocean is one of my favorites, and this one that I always say in interviews. I think that he's like one of the most polarizing artists, to listen to. As far as like being a singer and like singers, I love a singer called Miguel. I love his voice and like how he does it. Probably like somewhere in all of those artists. I know they're all kind of like all over the place, but it's also just like the scene of like, you know, whatever you want to call it, like pop punk scene or Warped Tour scene or alternative press scene, you know, those are just the things that I do feel like those types of bands really like made me love what I do, you know? But it's hard though, because for me, I'm also like a huge hip hop fan, and like, you know, like A$AP Rocky and Kendrick Lamar are like some of my favorite artists too, you know? So it's like, you know, I'm all across the board. It's hard to really pinpoint one for me, but just to name a few.
No, that's I love the across the board thing.
The starting line, they were a big one for me too.
I'm all over the fucking place. Like when it comes to music, I'm all over the place because
who isn't?
Trust me, I've met some people who like literally stay in a lane, and I'm like, it's cool, but there's other stuff out there that's awesome.
Nah, man, I like I listen to all of it. Probably the one genre of music I dabble in the least is like any sort of like instrumental or like electronic music. You know, I love music with lyrics. You know, the Beatles. I hate to even like, you know, be that guy, but
Well, we take those off the list. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh, well, it's the Beatles. I'm like, all right, fucking next. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Boring. Yeah.
So if this question, if there was, if you, young culture, unfortunately, wouldn't be a band anymore, what would you like the band to most be remembered for?
Probably just like our personalities and our like the way that we like could interact, the way that we interact with people, and the hopeful joy that we bring to people. You know, like one thing that we always make a point of is to like go talk to people and go out in the crowd and you know, like interact with people, talk to them like they're humans, which obviously any artist should do. And we get the opportunity to do that, and so that's probably the thing I'd want to remember the most, is just the community that was felt and created when you're at a young culture show.
Yeah, and listen, I can, to the listeners out there, I've seen them. I've seen how they perform. One of my favorite things of watching a band perform is when I can go home and then there's a new album out or a new song. I can literally picture that band performing that on stage. It's one of my favorite things to do, because I'm like, yeah, if I can do that, that means they left an impression on me.
Oh, that's dope.
I can do that with young culture. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So I don't want to keep you much longer. I'm having fun.
Yeah, me too.
Probably bored as shit right now. But so what we're going to do is we like to come in and what we call the segment our weekly threes. If you got three things you're listening to right now that you'd like people to check out, cool. It could be new, it could be old, but three things you're listening to right now that you would want someone to check out.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually like I'm the type of person, like I'm always going out there and like New Music Friday, getting the new thing. So let's see, let me go through my Apple Music right now and see what I've been listening to. The most notable ones, one album that I was late to the party on, but I found is like incredible emo band called The Hotelier, and their like staple album Home Like No Place Is There. Discovered that one this year. And I don't
fucking amazing yeah, album.
It's probably like up there like in my top 10 now. I slept on it for so long, never discovered it until like this year, and so yeah, that's been in heavy rotation, probably will be in my top for this year. Obviously the new Turnstile album Glow On is something really special to me. And then, yeah, like I said, I'm a big hip hop fan. So, this artist called Baby Keem, who actually, funny enough, didn't get famous this way, but he's Kendrick Lamar's cousin. And he just put out his like, first full length album. And, I think like on Friday, and I think it's like some of the dopest bars I've ever heard. Yeah, and then another like rap one that came out was this, not really a big Meek Mill fan, but him and Lil Baby and Lil Durk put out a new song that I've been all over. So all over the place, but yeah, I got a pretty like eclectic scope of music right now going on for me.
Awesome. Good three yeah. and a half, four. So
three and a half, three and a quarter.
Yeah. my three for this week are, the first band is called The Holy Mess, from Philly, indie punk band. Now I'm called, Comfort in the Discord.
Cool.
Really good. Number two is a band called Movements.
Yes, sir.
Post-hardcore, emo, whatever you want to call it, from California. No Good Left to Give is a great, album. That's what I've been listening to.
Real good album.
Number three is a new band out of New Hampshire called Northern Hands, emo, alt rock.
I think I know some of those guys.
So, and the album's called Painted World. There's a song on there called Haunted that is fucking just dynamite.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
So those are my three for this week. But Alex, I want to say, thank you so much for being here this week. Like, give you an opportunity right now to tell people how to find all your stuff, how to keep in touch and keep up on everything you guys are doing.
Yeah, of course.
Give you that opportunity right now to do so.
Yeah. On all social medias, whatever, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you can find us at Young Culture NY. like Young Culture New York, and Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you can find music, YouTube. It's going to be under Young Culture. Check it out. Hope you guys enjoy it. Shane, thanks so much for having me on, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome. So everybody, you know what you got to do next. Go out to, and listen to Young Culture and have a great fucking time.
Yup.
Coast to coast, I always knew you wanted more from me. If it keeps going on and on, the way I see it, I'll never be what you want me to be. Now I'll clean up this mess. I gotta pick up the pieces. Is there even a reason? You held me down when I fell in. It feels like I'm cheated. Seems like every problem we have keeps repeating. And you should know. You need. We tried to turn it around when things were different. Wanted to talk it out, you weren't listening. And every time I see your name, I swear it's all the same. You never changed. You should know, my smiles turn to a frown. I always wanted you around. Always wanted you around.
Thanks again for tuning into the Hidden Tracks podcast. We hope you enjoyed this week's show. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at HiddenTracks99. Also, send all your submissions to myhiddentracks99@gmail.com. Tune in next week. You may find your new favorite band. And don't forget to go out and have a great fucking time.